March 2004. Alice popped open the Monday lid of her plastic Days of the Week pill dispenser and poured the 7 little tablets into her cupped hand. John marched into the kitchen with purpose, but seeing what she held, he spun on his heels and left the room, as if he'd walked in on his mother naked. He refused to watch her take her medications. He could be mid-sentence, mid-conversation, but if she got out her plastic Days of the Week pill dispenser, he left the room. Conversation over. She swallowed the pills with 3 gulps of very hot tea and burned her throat. The experience wasn't exactly pleasant for her either. She sat down at the kitchen table, blew on her tea, and listened to John stomping through the bedroom above her. "What are you looking for?" she yelled. "Nothing," he hollered. Probably his glasses. In the month since their visit to the genetic counselor, he'd stopped asking her for help finding his glasses and keys, even though she knew he still struggled to keep track of them. He entered the kitchen with quick, impatient steps. "Can I help?" she asked. "No, I'm good." She wondered about the source of this newfound stubborn independence. Was he trying to spare her the mental burden of tracking his own misplaced things? Was he practicing for his future without her? Was he just too embarrassed to ask for help from an Alzheimer's patient? She sipped her tea, engrossed in a painting of an apple and a pear that had been on the wall for at least a decade, and listened to him sift through the mail and papers on the counter behind her. He walked past her into the front hallway. She heard the hall closet door open. She heard the hall closet door shut. She heard the drawers in the hall table open and close. "You ready?" he called. She finished her tea and met him in the hallway. He had his coat on, glasses perched on his ruffled hair, and his keys in his hand. "Yes," said Alice, and she followed him outside. The beginning of spring in Cambridge was an untrustworthy and ugly liar. There were no buds yet on the trees, no tulips brave or stupid enough to have emerged through the now month-old layer of crusted snow, and no spring peeper audio track playing in the background. The streets remained narrowed by blackened, polluted snowbanks. Any melting that occurred during the relative warmth of midday froze with the plummeting temperatures of late afternoon, turning the paths in Harvard Yard and the sidewalks of the city into treacherous lanes of black ice. The date on the calendar only made everyone feel offended or cheated, aware that it was already spring elsewhere, and there people wore short-sleeved shirts and awoke to the sounds of robins chirping. Here, the cold and misery showed no signs of relenting, and the only birds Alice heard as they walked to campus were crows. John had agreed to walk with her to Harvard every morning. She told him she didn't want to risk getting lost. In truth, she simply wanted that time back with him, to rekindle their former morning tradition. Unfortunately, having deemed the risk of being run over by a car less than that of being injured from slipping on the icy sidewalks, they walked single file in the street, and they didn't talk. Gravel kicked up into her right boot. She debated whether to stop in the road to empty it out or wait until they reached Jerry's. To empty it, she'd have to balance in the road on one foot while exposing the other to the frigid air. She decided to endure the discomfort for the remaining 2 blocks. Located on Mass Ave about halfway between Porter and Harvard Squares, Jerry's had become a Cambridge institution for the chronically caffeinated long before the invasion of Starbucks. The menu of coffee, tea, pastries, and sandwiches written in chalk capital lettering on the board behind the counter had remained unaltered since Alice's graduate student days. Only the prices next to the items showed signs of recent attention, outlined with chalk dust in the shape of a rectangular school eraser and printed in a penmanship belonging to someone other than the author of the offerings to their left.